Saddle up your horses. Well, welcome everyone to the Robin Walter Show, part of the Red Sky Radio Network. God bless you today. Boy, there's just so much going on. I'm not going to take much time here with intros, other than if you want to contact me, you certainly may, redskyradio777@gmail.com, redskyradio777@gmail.com. Today's program, it is just simply, I cannot avoid any longer talking about violence. Maybe you've heard and seen all that you want, but it needs to be put into a biblical context, which will describe what's going on, certainly in this country. I can't speak to the rest of the world. Not everything moves in lockstep throughout the whole world. Different nations at different times go through their phases of challenge, and maybe being overrun. Could be revolutions, it could be whatever. Some survive, some don't. The only nation that's ever really truly survived is Israel. And there were points in time where they were not there occupying their land. They're there now. And I don't think to ever be dislodged. So with that, I want to also say, though, before we get going here, if you could be sure and listen to the Sunday morning program this week, I cover a portion of the Charlie Kirk Memorial that I'm not going to cover right now, which I am going to cover briefly, because I was there. And I share the testimony of God's blessings and how He paved the way for me to get there, to get in my seat. It was an incredible time. I did not share in that program the content of anybody's speeches, however. And I will only say, and I'm repeating from that program, which I did before this program, it was without question the most exciting, the most motivating, the most inspiring, and frankly, the most anointed event I have ever been to in my life. I had the whole range of emotions that was there, from anger to joy, jubilance to a bit of despondency, love. It had everything, because all of that was wrapped up in the event itself, meaning the event of the assassination, right through to the event of celebrating who that brave, brave man of God was. He indeed is a martyr. He is actually a modern-day civil rights leader. Frankly, in my opinion, on the order of Martin Luther King Jr. And there were some things, though, that I happened to have noticed there that I didn't want to share on the Sunday morning program. I probably had visual contact with 30 or 40,000 faces. Now, I'm one of 70,000 in that arena, and there's 30,000 at stadium, 30,000 in the ice hockey arena that's next door. Well, I got into the place that where everything was happening, didn't have to see it on a video feed. I did notice, and I'm just going to say this because I found it quite perplexing, that out of the 30, 40,000, I made facial recognition of. I'm looking around and everything. I would say I think I saw about 7 or 8 blacks out of all that. I mean, I know what Charlie Kirk has said, but I don't know what the black community, if I can call it that, is hearing. If they're only watching MSNBC or CNN, there were a few blacks, praising the Lord, a very few. I was wondering, where the heck are they? It would seem that when a slain civil rights leader of the magnitude of Charlie Kirk, all races would show up. I didn't see many. I did see some Hispanics, not a lot, but some, more than I saw black. And Asians were few and far between. And there aren't many Asians in that part of the state. But in any case, all I can say was that was something that I noticed. With respect to the speeches themselves, there were some that were kind of lame. I mean, goodness sakes, it was over 4 hours of speeches. The whole event was 9 hours. It was 3 to 3.5 hours of worship and about 5 to 5.5 hours of speaking with a few intermissions. I said, you know, to one party next to me, I've never been to a funeral before. They had an intermission. And that would be true. But there had to be people. And that whole time, I didn't eat anything. I didn't drink any water outside, all of that. You know what? I'm repeating myself. But as far as the speeches go, the weakest, if you can call it that, was Donald Trump. You knew what he was going to say. And he would periodically go off the rails a little bit talking about this political thing. And then, but he'd pull it back to Charlie Kirk. There were some incredible surprises, and I mean good surprises. Tulsi Gabbard, Tucker Carlson, although he gets a little goofy at times. Pete Hegseth blew me away. Marco Rubio, the kid can preach. I was just astounded. And of course, Erica Kirk's concluding message. It would be an understatement to say there was not a dry eye in the place. I would go one step further. There wasn't a tear duct in that place that had anything left. It was just that moving. So the fact that an incredible amount of hate is shown before it doesn't compare to the amount of hate that's shown afterwards, and including the violence, which just simply continues. And I'm going to start here today with Genesis 6, verse 11 and 12. I'm doing more on this on the Sunday morning program next week. But the earth was also corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. I'll give you a little clue here. This is not deep state corruption. When it says that flesh has corrupted his way, we're talking about something else. And I'm going to just plant that seed for next week. You will not want to miss that program. And but anyway, I have promised I'm going to start with good news. It's going to be fast because I've got a lot to cover. First of all, the Department of War, I like that, Department of War, discontinues $1.1 million committee that simply promoted abortion and feminism. That was formerly under the Secretary of Defense, but now called, or the Department of Defense, but now called the Department of War. Good news, all right? $1.1 million they would spend on this committee to promote abortion and feminism in the military. Get rid of them, fire them. Military recruitment is up big time just because we got getting rid of these losers, leftist losers, and I apologize for the redundancy. But I should also mention other good news. We're up to 2 million illegals now that have left the country on their own or otherwise. I loved Trump's speech before the UN. You know, three things happened. That escalator stopped, the teleprompter stopped, and then he was cut off his mic at one point. It's no way that this could be a coincidence. In fact, they even have some testimony that people, a couple of employees, were laughing and joking about turning off the escalator. Not necessarily with respect to Trump. That part wasn't in the text of the statement that was confirmed to have been made. But you can go from there. All right? But what I liked about his speech was the fact that he lost the teleprompter. Does Trump really need a teleprompter? Because he moves away from whatever the heck he's going to say anyway. And this just said, okay, I guess I'm on my own. So where does he go with that? Where does he go with that? The most impactful statement was when he just looked people in the eye around there and just said, your countries are going to hell. I loved it. It's true. I haven't said this for some time now, but I don't know why we contribute a stinking dime to the United Nations. Don't give them a dime. Shut it down. Send everybody back home. Take the United Nations building and let Donald Trump convert it into really pricey condos and use it to pay down the national debt. And every condo would have the name of the country that used to occupy that space. Right? Well, I think it's a fabulous idea. But not because I thought of it, because it seems very Trumpian. But he just said your countries are going to hell because of immigration. We got these losers, new losers this week. Canada, the UK, Australia, Portugal. Just in the last 4 or 5 days have come out and said they're going to recognize a Palestinian state. A state that has no boundaries, never has had any boundaries. Never. Never had a currency. Never had a government. So what the heck are we recognizing? Hamas. Forget them. Screw them. I don't care those countries anymore. We should just pull out of we should pull out of NATO. You guys fund it. I like what Trump is doing, though. He said, look, if you need jets to give to Ukraine to fight Russia, we will sell them to you. Doggone it, we're going to make some money on this deal to make up for all the money we've dumped into that rat hole called NATO. Well, anyway, good news to me. And then the last of the good news, we get down to Turning Point USA here. Just a particular event, a particular thing. They have now, just out the other day, University of Minnesota, hotbed of liberalism. The first Turning Point event to take place since the assassination of their founder, Charlie Kirk. First one, the event sold out, standing room only, 2,000 kids packed into that auditorium. At one point, hundreds of students standing there wearing red caps, chanting, Charlie, 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 Charlie. And what does this do? That brings out what I said, what is now 3 weeks ago, because it keeps coming back to me from Hebrews. Though he be dead, he still speaks, but through many, many more mouths and a much louder microphone. Let's just call it a megaphone. And then the greatest, most attended, or I'm sorry, the most watched memorial. First of all, I got to back up here. The numbers are such that this was, in person, the biggest memorial ever held in the United States, and it's not even close. I followed 50,000 people in, 20,000 followed me. I ended up with a fabulous seat. God directed me to it. Listen to Sunday morning program. You'll hear all about that. And there's another 30,000 in the ice arena next door. And then there's the whatever, 30, 40,000 that couldn't get in. 150,000 showed up. The biggest memorial service in the history of the United States. Barack Obama could not pull a third of that with George Soros paying people to attend. We're up to over 100 million views just on TPUSA streaming network. I love the thing from the Babylon Bee, which I quote often. I feel free to do it because nobody pushed these guys longer and farther back than I did. I was one of their first advocates many years out of the gate. And those guys had no publicity. I didn't make them who they are. They made it on their own. But I quote them often, And I love this picture of the entire stadium slam-packed. And then they've got a quote from Satan. And he just said, "I think I made a terrible mistake." Yeah, you did. So anyway, that's that. And now, but what were some of the other people doing while this momentous historical event eclipsing anything we've ever had in this country and probably never to be eclipsed? I pulled up this thing. What were the Obamas doing? The Obamas happened to be partying that day on a super yacht, $250 million yacht, in Italy with filmmaker Steven Spielberg. Isn't that something? Now, I'm not expecting him to be there, and I don't think either one of them will have watched it. It doesn't matter. Who cares about that scumbag anyway? Google, this is interesting. Google now comes out and said, we're going to make a free speech pledge. They're making the pledge now for free speech after years of censoring conservatives. I mean, the CEO of Google admitted Joe Biden and his administration forced him to censor. Same thing on Facebook. Same thing with Obama. They're worse than deep state. They're from the pit of hell. And why are they pledging the free speech thing down now? Because they want to be able, to do now what they prevented conservatives from doing earlier. Totally, total hypocrisy at every level. And once the Democrats are back in power, do you think that they'll switch around? Of course they will. They have no morals. But the effect of left-wing influence, don't think it's going away. Okay, so Jimmy Kimmel, who I've never watched in my life, I couldn't care. You'd have to pay me to watch him, and then I'd still probably turn you down on the offer. So I made a prediction a couple of weeks ago here on the program. If you recall, Jimmy Kimmel will be back. Number two, he'll be back soon. Number three, he'll be bigger than ever. And that actually has happened. I make predictions that don't come true. That one came true, and came true fast. But he still sucks. I like the Babylon Bee. It said ABC had to unfire Jimmy Kimmel for censorship so that they could refire him for just not being very funny. And he wasn't. He's just got a bunch of minions, just a bunch of lapdogs in that audience. But, you know, whatever. That's the kind that's drawn to him. But there are a couple of groups that are still censoring. That's not censorship. They're just deciding not to. See, it's censorship when the government prevents the speech. When a private organization doesn't want to air something, that's not censorship. They can do whatever they want. But here's the point that Sinclair, one of the big ABC owners of ABC stations, what they did is unconscionable, because while they're not putting Jimmy Kimmel back on the air yet, they will. They'll fold. They canceled airing the tribute to Charlie Kirk. So we want to talk about this so-called new definition of censorship, where some media outfit cancels stuff. And they're talking about the conservatives. Why don't we just look to Sinclair, which decided not to air the Charlie Kirk Memorial because of the ABC stations that got violent threats for canceling Jimmy Kimmel. Well, the fact of the matter is, that's turned around. That's what they said, it's turned around, because the tribute to Charlie Kirk. Well, I'm not going to get into that. You know where I'm going with this. This is another hypocrisy. They cancel the tribute to Charlie Kirk because the ABC stations got violent threats But the left wants to talk about supposed pressure from the right. Well, okay. Genesis 6. I read it to you. Here we go. We're going to roll with violence today. But I'm going to speak to it from a news standpoint today and from a spiritual standpoint on the Sunday morning program for next week. So don't miss that. This is part one and then part two. This one, I'm covering the political current events perspective before we get to the ultimate cause of what's happening, why things are happening, the cause of what's happening, and the consequence of what's happening spiritually next week on the Sunday morning with Robin Walter. So I read this, the earth was corrupted before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Now, on this, I'm just going to focus on the earth being filled with violence. So we just go back a couple days, right? The Dallas shooting? I mean, the sniper isn't even good enough to kill the guards, and the ICE people ends up killing a detainee. It was, in effect, it's what the military would call friendly fire, but by an enemy kind of killing an enemy, if you will. And the guy's got anti-ICE things on his bullets. And yet people are saying there was no political... They're saying we're investigating the motive. They're still saying that about Tyler Robinson. We still don't know the motive. Knock off that bull crap. Everybody knows what the motive is. Now, whether this guy, Jordan John, J-A-H-N, or maybe it's pronounced Jan, I don't know, is a kid queer? If he's not, he'd be one of the first ones to not be queer participating in this kind of violence. So, but people say they keep coming, we don't know what the motive, look, these are individuals, they hate God, they hate Christianity, they hate Christians. They hate the Word of God. They can't beat it, so they have to kill it. Attempting to do so anyway, because they can't kill the message, they can only kill the messenger, which we've learned with Charlie Kirk. So this 29-year-old Joshua Jan, so he opens fire from an adjacent building to this ICE center in Dallas. But he's up on the rooftop. Oh, my gosh, where did he get that idea? And then he kills himself. Oh, where did he get that idea? Well, about the only one who hasn't killed himself was the queer guy, Tyler Robinson, was in love, supposedly, with his queer animal fetish tranny roommate. It's from the rooftop. They're all from the rooftops. Gosh. And who are the ones shooting from the rooftop? Everybody who hates conservatives. Everybody who hates the government as it's presently constituted by Donald Trump. Why they continue to say, we can't figure out the motive, forget it. But so we have that act of violence. So what, just a couple days ago, we have six women booked into the Wichita County Center, indicted for the shooting of an Alvarado police officer at an ICE detention center. Six women. They're out shooting. The bad girls are shooting the good guys. They're all white. Six whites. There's no racial. Maybe one looks a little Hispanic. But so it's all shades, sorts, and colors. And sexes, right? They're out shooting. Law enforcement people. I just hope they all go to jail for life. What the heck? I don't know if this guy was killed, though. I can't remember whether he did or whether they died or not, whether that Alvarado officer died. Of course, if he was killed, then they just should simply be executed. I would love to see him get saved, as much as I'd like to see Tyler Robinson get saved, and then proceed with the execution. Just a few days before that, Hunter, isn't that interesting? A guy named Hunter Nadeau, 23-year-old former employee of the Sky Meadows Country Club in New Hampshire. He goes on a shooting rampage. They wonder, we don't know if this is politically motivated and whether there were ideological motivations for this violent act. Well, he's been charged with second-degree murder in his shooting. And what was he doing? He was shooting and yelling, "Free Palestine." Free Palestine. Political? Absolutely. These are all political. Worse than that, they're actually spiritual. They're by people who hate God. They hate Israel. They're haters. And yet they're calling everybody else haters. That's the irony of it. So you remember the would-be assassin, Brett Kavanaugh, was going to try to kill him. He's just come out and revealed that he's a tranny. Gee, what a surprise. It's another tranny killer. We don't just have a tranny killer. Of course, he attempted. He wasn't successful, but it's attempted murder. Tranny killer in Nashville, the tranny killer in Minnesota, tranny killer, and boy, we had the other one here. I can't even think where it is. I can't read my notes here. Oh, I'm sorry. Well, the Charlie Kirk assassin. What am I thinking about? That's the third one. He's not a tranny, but he's queer. See, they're screwed up. Then we have this guy just a couple days ago. Actually, is it a guy? We don't know. It's Kimberly McNeely, so we have a hard time. I'm sorry, it is a woman again. We're back to the women who make up the greater proportion of those who hated Charlie Kirk. Why? Because he was adamantly pro-life, and he could beat anyone in a debate over the issue of abortion. Back to the Babylon Bee. I love this one. It said AOC loses debate to a cardboard cutout of Charlie Kirk. But here this tranny activist says, "I hope Charlie Kirk is the first of the many to die." He said, "We're in for a bloody fight." He urges others to rise up and murder Americans who think like Charlie Kirk. This is a graphic call to assassinating Americans. Tell me, who on the right has been issuing proclamations, declarations, requests to kill people on the left? No one. There is no equivalence here at all, in as the left obviously wants to say. So this Kimberly McNeely, who's also a tarot card reader from Murfreesboro, Tennessee. I know that town. I've been there 4 or 5 times. And I can't read what she says because every third word is the F-bomb. And that's basically their vocabulary. But goes on to say, sometimes fighting is messy and sometimes it's bloody. And I am not going to apologize for that. I will die on this hill. Now, again, I've cut out all the expletives. Are we done with all this violence? I wish we were, but there's more on the other side of this message, or on this piece here, and we're getting to the cause of the violence, but I got to finish the violence before I get to those who are pushing it. Don't go away. Rob Walter with the Red Sky Radio.
The Robin Walter Show is a listener-supported program. Your contribution goes to help as many people as possible to hear that the Word of God has answers to help you survive and even thrive in the dark days ahead in this country. We pledge to bring you the critical information you need to make informed decisions in this age where big tech and big media have conspired to rid our country of everything Christian. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Who's doing the revolting? Where's the revolution? Well, it could be a second American revolution. The violence, folks, has only just begun. People say, why can't we just got to come together? There's no coming together. What light? What fellowship does light have with darkness? What with righteousness with Belial? There's an unequal yoking. The country is divided, getting more divided, more violent. And we're going to see why next week. But I'm going to finish a bit of violence and the current purveyors of that violence here for the rest of the program. And this one comes up. I'm not into... I like all kinds of music, almost. I do not like heavy metal. I don't care for rap. I don't care for jazz. That is so screwed up, I have no way of knowing where the melody is. Six instruments going in different directions. I don't see the beauty in it. But all the other music, I have a wide range of music. Well, so I don't know this group called GWAR. G-W-A-R. So they just had a concert. And in the concert, they did a thing where they depicted a beheading of Elon Musk. And they then hosted the mock murder of Donald Trump. Now, I don't follow these sites, but all the people who do, tranny or otherwise, queer or otherwise, that are killing people, and the absolute vitriol and venom and vindictiveness that's coming out of teacher unions, because they went to screwed up universities, got useless degrees, and now somebody's interfering with their womb to tomb mentality, I guess, and upsetting the apple cart in the world of unbridled leftist ideology. They're ticked off. So this is, all right, let's just imagine for a second. I had a concert, and we had a beheading of Barack Obama. A fake beheading. It's phony, of course. And it's only, and the person's only wearing a Barack Obama mask, which nobody lets you wear. Talk about free speech. You can't wear a Barack Obama mask. And then you posed a mock murder of Joe Biden. The left would go wild. It would consume the airwaves forever and say, they're calling for violence. How many people know about GWAR doing this? Virtually no one. I do, because I search the internet to find evidence, if there is any, for what it is I'm about to say. And if I don't find the evidence, then I don't say it. I'm a lawyer. I work with evidence. If the evidence isn't there, I don't have a case. I shut up. I move to something else. Bob Unruh, who is a great writer for WorldNet Daily, put out a piece, and I need to read from it before we get down to specific individuals. He said, quote here, 2 days after the Kirk's assassination, a former colleague shook his head in disbelief that the left would kill conservatives for simply having a different political perspective. While many conservatives indeed see it as an ideological dispute, leftists increasingly see it as their sacred duty, not unlike a jihadist, to snuff out those who refuse to worship at their pagan altar of Gaia, which is climate change, Molech, which is abortion, and Ishtar, which is transgenderism. This is a spiritual conflict, and the casualties are mounting. It's children being gunned down at Mass in Minneapolis Catholic schools, teachers and children being martyred at Christian schools in Nashville, young Jewish couples being murdered outside museums in Washington, D.C., and then prominent voices for Jesus who end up being assassinated in Orem, Utah. Boy. And part of this is actually a quote written by Bob Unruh, quoting Drew White, a former U.S. staff advisor. So I got to get the credits correct. He went on to say, though, Drew said, contra conventional wisdom, this was no political assassination. Now, that's interesting because I hear political assassination all the time. Charlie Kirk was a guy who had huge political consequences. But the root of his political inclinations and disposition was entirely rooted in Scripture. God created a male and female. There's no tranny crap. God formed them in a womb. There's no legitimate abortion. You see, Scripture formed his what others would call a political perspective. My point is, you cannot separate the two. They are inseparable. But rather, the physical I got to read that. Start that sentence over. Contra conventional wisdom, this is no political assassination, but rather the physical manifestation of spiritual warfare, revealing the demonic undercurrents driving the political left. Many others have done yeoman's work, including Kirk, highlighting the increasing violence of the left in the United States. Now, according to a YouGov survey released the day Kirk was murdered, a chilling 26% of self-identifying liberals under the age of 45, which means all of the shooters, believe political violence is justified. Sometimes justified, because it depends on how serious the offense was, how impactful was the person that needs to be killed was, like the attempts on Trump's life, leftist, the other killers I've mentioned, and of course the guy who hated Charlie Kirk for what he stood for. He noted many would think America's first prominent martyr of our times should have been a pastor or a theologian. But the answer is obvious, he said. The reason is because Kirk was a threat to the enemy, the real enemy. And he was actually a threat to the broader American church currently. And summing up what he said, I'll go on to say here that, in summing up, he identifies the weak, feckless church as not having the guts to speak the truth, wanting to be seeker-friendly, wanting to be part of the world more than part of the church, wanting to be more popular with man than with God. That's essentially summing up the problem with much of the church. So they don't have the guts to speak out. I went to church the first Sunday after the assassination, and I was hoping the pastor would have the guts to step out of his, not the topical, but the other method where you just go through the Bible, not eschatological. No, I'll think of it in a minute. It just escaped my head. They just marched through the Bible. Well, he had the guts to actually talk on the topic. Well, he said, you know, I don't normally do this. I don't normally talk on topical things, but today I'm going to. And what he said, I'm looking all over the internet and I see all these people that are talking about killing the leftists and getting back with them. That is not the answer. Well, I cover the internet twice as much as that guy does. I can guarantee you doing an hour and a half of programming every week, which requires scouring the internet for relevant pieces. I didn't see that. Yeah, there's a few whack jobs out there. But I have to say, the pastor created a straw man so he could then turn around and set it on fire and preach to everybody about how the sword is not the way, and Peter with a sword was off in the garden, and we're supposed to turn the other cheek. Come on. Whose cheek are we turning? How do I turn I can't turn Charlie Kirk's cheek. He was out there to get slapped and now ultimately shot. The sermon was awful. And he proved to me, in essence, to be fundamentally gutless to deal with the topic at hand, what needs to be done. Eschatological? Is that it? No, that's the end times. I'm still trying to think of that word. RedSkyRadio777@gmail.com. Tell me what I'm trying to think about. They just march through, just go through the Bible, kind of irrelevant to whatever is going on. Important? Yeah. But we can read or cover 1 Peter chapter 2 next week. Doesn't have to be this week. Shift over to what people want to hear. What's going on? Why does this happen? What does the Word say about these current events? Way too many don't have the guts to do it. And it's just, like Bob Unruh said here, these are demonic old gods that have surfaced, like he's talking about, the altar of Gaia, which is climate change. I didn't even know that word before. G-A-I-A. Molech, which I've long known to be abortion, and Ishtar. If you read anything by Jonathan Kahn, you'll know that that relates to transgenderism. All from the pit of hell, all from the enemy, and all because they're not getting their way. You see, they don't have to kill Christians when they're getting their way in the legislature, in the courts, and in the churches. But when they don't get their way, they get stressed out, and that's why they are resorting to killing. The violence, Genesis 6, that's filling the earth. Certainly filling the United States. So, who are these people? Who have incited this violence? Who is on the dark side? Who are the emissaries from hell themselves? Well, let's start with Gavin Newsom, the guy who loves blood, Mr. Abortion Tourism, the guy whose eye teeth drip baby blood, the guy who makes Count Dracula look pro-life. So what did he say? He talked about punching these sons of a bitches in the face. His words. He's talking about Republicans and conservatives. Do you think that incites any violence? Duh. How about his comment about Kristi Noem? He puts out the tweet on X your day. I'm kind of forgetting what it was exactly. Yeah, he said, okay, Kristi, you're going to have a bad day today. You're welcome, America. What's the implication for that? She's going to get killed. I mean, it took Kristi Noem practically went into hiding. Her kids were trembling. They found out it was a chilling tweet from Newsom's press office that threatened her and panicked her family. And then he goes on to say about the ICE agents. These ICE agents are going to be here. They're going to suppress the right to vote. Back to the Babylon Bee. Gavin Newsom has to stick up for the illegal aliens because he has to stick up for those who voted for him. Illegal. You get that key word? So how are they going to suppress the right to vote if the vote that's suppressed are ones that know they can't vote, i.e. illegals? Because he can't have his illegal schmucks out there voting freely because they're covered by his words, his cover, Karen Bass, all of that going on. Oh, I mean, and then he signs the bill. No masking in California among the police or ICE agents. No masking. Why do you want them unmasked, Gavin, you bastard? And you are. Sorry, I used a word from the Bible. bastard is in the Bible. Because you want people to be able to take pictures, do facial recognition, find out where they live, dox them, show up at their homes, just like all your left-wing retards showed up at the conservative Supreme Court justices' homes, and your DOJ didn't do jack squat crap diddly about it, so that they can intimidate them, so that they can set their house on fire, so that they can spray paint the home, so that they can shoot them, so they can track them down. You, Gavin Bastard Gruesome, are the reason, one of the reasons we have the violence in this country that we do. No, go back and spend more time in front of the mirror fixing your hair. Don't get too close to a fire, Gavin, because that axle grease in your hair at some temperatures is flammable. The guy who's against climate change and you buy the axle grease at 55-gallon drums, obviously most of this is satire, but it actually rings true. Well, you go down to what the others have said. I don't even really want to waste time with losers like Jasmine Crockett, well, you can fill in the blank there. Yeah, I'm ticked off today at this because this is a righteous anger when I see innocent people being killed by demoniacs, also known as Democrats. Newsom, while the investigation is going on, our initial review of the evidence shows an ideological motive. This is not Newsom. This is Kash Patel, that there's ideological motives behind the attack. Duh, you think? One of the unspent shells has anti-ice on it. That's the most recent one. And then they get down to the others here. Masked men jumping out of unmarked cars. People disappearing. Is this authoritarian hyperbole? No. It's bull whatever. You can fill out the rest of that. That's still Newsom. You get down to some of these and the others, whether it is, oh my gosh, it's just, you know what? I don't want to spend any more time on these people because they're calling them Nazis. They say, look, we got to defeat ICE any way we can. We're going to have to take it to the streets. Mike, and then we have this stuff show up. It's unbelievable. Well, you know what? Scripture says we're supposed to expose the works of darkness. Jennifer Sybil Newsom, Newsom's partner, she said that ICE agents are hunting illegal aliens. Well, you hunt to kill. You don't hunt to capture. You hunt to kill. Jasmine Crockett, ICE agents are acting like slave patrols. What do you do with slave patrols? You want to take them out, right? Boston Mayor Michelle Wu compares ICE agents to neo-Nazis. Tim Walz declares ICE agents are Trump's modern-day Gestapo. Representative John Larson from Connecticut calls on Americans to rise up against the Gestapo ICE. Well, what's rising up mean? This is all violence. Hakeem Jeffries threatens to unmask ICE agents. Boston Mayor Michelle Wu again calls ICE agents Trump's secret police. Well, and they don't think that they're inciting violence. And then you got absolutely Kamala No Brains Harris. I've had conversations with fence posts. Yeah, that's obviously satire. But fence posts that are smarter than this gal. She claims Trump is now a communist dictator, which is really interesting because what this retard has been saying for years is that he is a fascist. But now he's a communist dictator. Communists and fascists are very different, but don't hold her to account for trying to bring forth any measure of truth. This from Mr. Gorba, Not Gorbachev. There are moments in history when the veil is lifted and the true nature of an ideology is laid bare for all to see. The aftermath of the cowardly assassination of Charlie Kirk was one of those moments. While we lost a patriot, the bold voice of freedom, truth, and the future of our nation, the left erupted in celebration. They laughed, they cheered, they shared memes, they hailed the murderer as a hero. At its core, this ideology venerates death. This is the ideological and logical endpoint of liberalism. It is a death cult that worships at the altar of destruction. Yes, it champions the right to end innocent life in the womb. It rebrands the slaughter of the unborn as health care, as a sacred right. It encourages a chemical and surgical mutilation of healthy young bodies, a grotesque parody of medicine that severs the individual from their own biological reality. And now they are celebrating political assassinations. Why would you expect anything more? It's who they are. It's what they believe in. There's no life in their ideology, only decay, degradation, and death. They cannot create, so they destroy. They cannot build, so they tear down. They cannot defend truth, so they silence those who speak it. Charlie Kirk was a threat to them, not because he was violent, not because he preached hatred, but because he represented something they despise: life, vitality, courage, and a future for our people. He stood for the America that they're trying to erase. In their twisted world, the murder of a young man with a family, friends, and a mission is cause for joy. In their moral vacuum, the blood of the innocent is just another tool in their war against God, nature, and order. We see you, we see your hatred, and we see your emptiness. We see the hollow, lifeless eyes of a movement that has nothing left to offer but destruction and will not be silenced. We will mourn Charlie. We will honor his legacy. We will continue his work, and we will remember this moment, the moment the death cult showed its true face to the world. They think they will frighten us into submission. They are wrong, for we are builders. We are defenders. We are the bearers of life, faith, and hope. We will never stop fighting for the future that they are so desperate to destroy. And Jerry Newcomb, he mentioned something I thought was really amazing here, but he said, "Left, you've lost the debate. The assassination of Charlie Kirk 2 weeks ago is a case in point. They couldn't defeat you at a debate. They couldn't defeat him at a debate, so they had to kill him." His slogan, quote, "Prove me wrong." Anybody who may claim he was proven wrong by being shot subscribes to the view that might makes right. This is anarchist. This is anarchy. And others may suffer the same fate. But he says this, he said, pointing to the fact that Charlie Kirk won because they had to kill him, won the debate. He said, "I once heard about an English tourist visiting China 100 years ago who recounted how two laborers were having a heated argument in the street. After watching and listening for several minutes, the tourist remarked that he expected the two men would begin fighting in a moment. But the guide said, 'Oh, I doubt it. You see, the man who strikes first admits that he has lost the argument.'" Every time a good person is killed by a bad person, the good person has won. The bad person has admitted that they have lost the argument. You have nothing more to say, nothing more to pronounce. You have no points that are worth anything that you want to or can bring forth. And all you have left is death to your opponent. You kill them, and you just lost. One of the speakers at the event said this, and I thought it was tremendous. He said, "Every time a tyrant kills his victim, the tyrant dies. And every time the victim is martyred, he's just begun to live." My goodness sakes. I didn't quote that exactly. It just came to my mind. I hadn't prepared that. I'd like to find out who said it, but it's an incredible statement. At the martyr's death, he begins to live. I'm back to what I said at the beginning. Though he be dead, he still speaks. And Charlie went at 31 years old, but I think in concluding this piece today, life is short for all of us. I don't care whether you live to be 100. It's actually a relatively short life, like the one person said. You know, the days, some days just drag on. But the years, they fly by. The point that we all need to remember, that life is short, but eternity is forever. God bless you. I appreciate you tuning in today. If this has ministered to you, it may likely minister to others. Shoot this program on and around, because we are in a dark time. We are in a time that more than ever, we need to sit tall in the saddle, because we ride for the brand of Jesus Christ. We'll see you next week.